We're learning the latest in a study from Wisconsin helping teens deal with negative thought spirals, rumination. It is the morning show. I'm Kate Archer-Kent. Glad you could be here. About 150 Wisconsin teens were enrolled in the study several years ago to test how a smartphone app might help them deal with negative emotions. And the researchers have data to share about this app that uses mindfulness exercises and regular check-ins with teens to gauge their emotions. So when your child has difficulty letting go of bad feelings, what do you do to help them? What is your experience with mindfulness apps? Do they work for you? 800-642-1234. Lori Hilt is an associate professor of psychology at Lawrence University, and she's set to present her findings at the Anxiety and Depression Association of America conference next week. Lori, welcome back to the Ideas Network.
Good morning, Kate. Thanks so much for having me back.
Well, good morning. Take us inside your app study and what things you've discovered about teen rumination.
Sure. So this study, we started 3 years ago, and over the course of the last few years, like you said, we've enrolled 150 teens, and we finally have all of our data. So what we found is that adolescents who used the mindfulness version of the app saw reduced rumination and worry. So these negative repetitive thinking patterns, and that in turn reduced symptoms of depression and anxiety, as reported by both them and their parents. So we're really excited. This is what we were hoping the app would do, but to actually see the data and see that it was working as we expected, we're really excited.
Teens today are using their phones a lot, just like they did 3 years ago, maybe more. Can you explain how this app works with them?
Sure. And you're right. So the reason that we decided to deliver this intervention via smartphone app is because over 95% of teens do own a smartphone and spend a lot of time on it. So the way it works is the app notifies teens three times a day, once in the morning, once after school, and once before bed. And each time they're notified, they're asked about how they're currently feeling. So this is called mood monitoring. So they rate how sad, anxious, happy, irritated, et cetera, that they feel. And then the teens in the mindfulness condition will get assigned a mindfulness exercise about two-thirds of the time that they're using the app. And the mindfulness exercises range anywhere from about 1 minute to 10 minutes. Hmm. So the one-minute ones, they just get brief instructions on their phone screen. And it might be something like pay attention to your breath for the next minute, or count your breaths, or notice how your body feels right now. And then the 5 and 10 minute exercises are guided audio. And these are taken from freely available mindfulness exercises in the public domain. So we pilot tested them to make sure they would be appropriate for kids this age. And so they would listen to the exercise or do the exercise on their phone, and then rate again how they're feeling after that.
You know, with this mood monitoring, because this app circles up with the teens several times a day, I wonder how important timing is in catching these negative emotions, these negative thought patterns early and redirecting them.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, we think that's really how the app is working, is by using this mood monitoring. It's not 100% predictable. So the way the app is programmed is it's going to randomly ask how teens are feeling throughout the day at these three different time periods. So what we're trying to do is catch when teens might be in these negative thought patterns, and then give them a strategy that could help them get out of it.
Lori Hilt with us, associate professor of psychology at Lawrence University, as we look at a mindfulness app, what her research is showing. You can join in if you have a teenage son or daughter who ruminates or has difficulty letting go of bad feelings. What do you do to help them? What is your experience with mindful meditation or mindfulness apps? 800-642-1234. Lisa is with us from Madison. Lisa, hi. What is your experience with your daughter?
Well, good morning. My daughter is a sophomore at Lawrence, and she gathered her data, so now we could find out what the study was specifically in regards to, but she was collecting data on mindfulness meditation and the benefits for neurotypicals versus neurodivergent. Both her and our son are on the spectrum and have used meditation and have found it helpful to our son to identify emotions and our daughter to deal with her anxiety and stress that she experiences as part of her autism spectrum. So you know, very interesting, and it's something we're well aware of the benefits.
Really interesting, Lisa, and thank you for bringing that personal perspective. Lori, if you could even help us understand what neurotypical neurodivergent is.
Sure. So neurodivergent is a term that's used sometimes to describe lots of different behaviors that might be associated with the autism spectrum, for example. And so we find that, you know, in our study, we used teens from the community, and we did a phone screen to see, we wanted to get teens who were ruminating at least a little bit, because that's what we were targeting with the app. But we included anyone in our study who were ages 12 to 15 and had at least moderate levels of rumination.
How might this help some teens who are on the autism spectrum? Do you find that this mindfulness app might be for this particular group of people might be particularly helpful?
I think so. I mean, really what we're trying to do is help kids who have negative emotions and might kind of get stuck in them. And we certainly see that in lots of different teens. So kids with autism, kids with depression, kids with anxiety, and even kids who don't have a diagnosis or neurotypical individuals, they can get stuck. And this can put them, it causes suffering, distress. It can put them at risk for developing disorders later. We think that if we can help give kids another way to deal with those emotions, like you mentioned, being able to let go of them, to kind of instead of get stuck in them in a really abstract way in their minds, to think about things more concretely, how their body's feeling, how their breath is, and to be able to kind of distance from those thoughts.
Okay, so a little bit more here with your study, your three-year study funded by NIH, and you're now part of a five-year clinical trial about how a commercially available app can help adolescents who ruminate. How does that app that you're working with differ from the one you developed for the original study?
So the reason that we developed our own app for this original study was we really wanted to have sort of a proof of concept of whether brief mindfulness exercises work for teens. There are a lot of commercially available apps in the marketplace, and so few of them have been tested scientifically, and almost none have been tested with younger kids and teens. So that's why we developed our own app, so we could have a lot of control over it, and we used publicly available mindfulness exercises so that if it works, which we found out it did, we can kind of recommend that, and we can feel comfortable as parents, clinicians, and teens suggesting that individuals reach out and use these resources, and they can actually be helpful even in these very small doses. The commercially available app that we're testing for this five-year study that you mentioned is Headspace. So it is one of the most popular mindfulness apps, and it has some good scientific backing already that it works well in college students and adults. So what we want to see is, does it also work for ruminative teens? And we're also doing brain scans before and after the teens use Headspace for a month, so that we can see changes in brain activity patterns that may help us to understand how the app is working to reduce rumination and worry. So Headspace is, it's a basic course in mindfulness. Mm-hmm. And so it bears some similarities to the app that we used in this original study, in that it presents short mindfulness exercises every day. But unlike this original app, where the mindfulness exercises are randomly assigned, with Headspace, the teens can go in and pick mindfulness exercises to do on that one.
They have a little bit more flexibility as to what they would like to do to be able to kind of control that those emotions. Lawrence University psychology professor Lori Hilt with us studies rumination, dwelling on negative feelings, and that inability to move past them. And for several years, Lori's worked on a smartphone app for teens that could help address this issue. Do you remember experiencing this as a teenager before you and your friends had phones and apps? How did you deal with negative thought spirals? Are you concerned about a teen who struggles with anxiety and depression? 800-642-1234. Back in a minute with Lori Hilt here in the Ideas Network. We're learning about a mindfulness app and whether it could help teens who struggle with continuously thinking about the same thoughts that tend to be sad or dark. It's new research out on intervention for rumination on The Morning Show. I'm Kate Archer-Kent. Do you see rumination tendencies in your teen? What do you do to counteract them? How could an app help young people grapple with negative emotions? 800-642-1234. Lori Hilt is an associate professor of psychology at Lawrence University working on this app. Lori, I want to ask you about, first of all, Tammy from Omro called in, couldn't stay. And Tammy is wondering, what is the difference between meditation and other brain quieting activities versus things like meeting up with friends, talking with other people and other things that could perhaps pull you away from these negative thoughts?
That's a great question. I think, you know, all of those things would fall under the category of emotion regulation. So they're all strategies that we might use to deal with negative emotions. And I think they all have a place. They can all be helpful. Going to talk with a friend might be particularly helpful if that friend is validating your feelings and helping you problem solve. Going and kind of distracting yourself from negative emotions certainly can work temporarily, but what we find is that if you're constantly avoiding negative emotions, maybe by using mostly distraction, you actually find that they continue to pop up. And rumination and worry in and of themselves are kind of avoidance strategies. Although you're dwelling on this negative information, you're doing so in kind of a cognitive way rather than feeling the emotion. So doing something like mindfulness meditation, you're really focusing on those negative emotions, how they feel in your body, and actually attending to them in a way that you can fully experience them and let them go. Maybe talking to a friend might give you very similar kinds of outcomes.
Let's bring in Kimberly in Fox Lake. Hi, Kimberly. You've been using Headspace.
Hi. So my workplace actually pays for us to subscribe to Headspace if we wish to. And I found that it's very helpful because you really have a choice. Sometimes I find myself ruminating on something. And first I was just doing some meditations and I found it wasn't really working exactly for me, but they have a lot of options. Like I found that I really enjoy doing the yoga with meditation and adding that movement into it helps a lot, but I can't say enough good stuff about Headspace.
Well, Kimberly, thank you so much for bringing that and that experience with that particular app. It sounds, Lori, that Kimberly likes having options there on what to do to really get away from those negative feelings.
Yeah, I think that's great. And there are so many different mindfulness exercises. I think when we hear the word meditation, we might think about sitting very rigidly and focusing with our eyes closed. But really, mindfulness is defined as paying attention on purpose in a non-judgmental way. And so you can do that while doing yoga, while walking, while doing just about any activity. You can bring that mindful awareness to your life.
I'm wondering, just thinking that aloud here, the teen brain not fully formed, is there overlap or contrasts in the way you see rumination in teens versus adults?
Yeah, as you mentioned, the teen brain is still under development well into the second decade of life. And the part that is still really developing is the prefrontal cortex. And that is the most important part of the brain in terms of emotion regulation. So teens have a harder time regulating negative emotions. So when they face stressors, they don't have a fully developed brain to deal with that. And so what we think is great is to teach these skills as the brain's developing. So that gives more strategies for teens to strengthen that prefrontal cortex. And that's one of the things we'll be able to look at in this new 5-year study to see if it's actually doing that.
You know, social media, Instagram in particular, offers just like an infinite capacity for negative comparisons for young people in particular. And your app is taking teens to their phones where all these other apps dwell, if you will. Is there a problem in using an app to curb the negativity when that is also where they go to sometimes feel these things?
Mm-hmm. Well, actually, I think because teens are so drawn to their phones And like you said, there are definitely some negative outcomes that can be associated with using their phones, that we really wanted to provide some digital intervention using the phone for good, because teens are going to be on these platforms. And recent research has shown that about 42% of teens actually access mental health information on their phone. So if we can provide evidence-based interventions that can actually give them the skills to help them deal with some of these negative emotions, we think that using the phone is going to be the best way to reach them.
Can you go further into rumination and the overlap with anxiety and depression, and then how behavioral therapy would factor in here as a complement, perhaps, to using the app, or the app being a complement to the behavioral therapy?
Mm-hmm, sure. So rumination is a risk factor for anxiety and depression. So not everybody who ruminates has depression or anxiety, but they're more at risk of developing it in the future. And so for the app, we were really targeting kids in that age range just before rates of depression and anxiety start to increase later in the teen years. So what we're hoping is that if they use an app, they might develop these skills to kind of help them get out of the ruminative state and in turn prevent depression and anxiety. But if somebody already has a diagnosis of depression or anxiety, we know that the best treatment really is cognitive behavioral therapy. And I think the app could still be valuable as a tool. Somebody might be going to a clinician once a week, learning skills to help with their depression and anxiety, but then you want to be practicing those skills outside of session. And so mindfulness is one of those skills that then could be assigned through an app.
Lori Hilt with us, Associate Professor of Psychology at Lawrence University, as we learn about her research on teens and mindfulness apps. You can join in 800-642-1234. I just want to dig in a little more here. Is it possible that these practices of quieting a teen brain could perhaps lead to some complacency, that just accepting you'll have anxiety, you'll have thoughts of inadequacy, and just, you know, some negative thoughts could perhaps be a motivation to work harder, for more grit, more strive? What do you see there?
Yeah, I think that's a really interesting question. You know, what we're trying to do with mindfulness is not get rid of the negative thoughts. It's to acknowledge them, actually recognize them more. We're increasing our awareness of them, but then offering something to do with them. So, it may very well lead to some problem solving or recognizing, yeah, I keep getting stuck in this one thing. Maybe I need to take this action in order to get out of it. So actually mindfulness may increase the ability to problem solve and help people. And so we're not just trying to say, oh, accept everything and it's fine, but sort of accept yourself. All of these thoughts are part of the self, but they don't have to, take you away from life by sucking you in and getting stuck. And so it's a way to kind of get unstuck.
You're presenting your findings at the Anxiety and Depression Association of America conference in coming days. Mm-hmm. What do you want the key takeaways to be for your colleagues in this field? What do you want them to really know?
Mm-hmm. Well, I think, before I started this project, we knew that mindfulness was a very effective intervention. We knew that it helped rumination, and especially in adults. But what we didn't know is whether, all those previous studies really involved quite intensive practice. So a class 2 hours a week for 8 weeks and practicing about an hour a day. And so what I wanted to show with my study was, can you do this in much smaller doses? That's probably more acceptable and easy to do. And can it work for kids who are really in need, I think, of strategies at this age in particular? And so we did show that. And so I'm hoping it spurs more research into these brief digital health interventions that can help teens.
I would imagine, too, a sign of optimism is if teens learn these strategies early on, they take that with them through life, through their adult life.
Exactly. Yeah. So you want to teach as many strategies as you can so that in future situations, you have lots of things that can help you get through those.
So, and very quickly, what are the next steps then to the research project? Where do you go from here?
Yeah, well, we got a lot of great feedback from the families who participated in our study. And one of the questions we asked them is there anything they would change about the app? And so I'm really excited to seek some funding to make some improvements to the app. And then, of course, I want to disseminate it so that it can be widely available for others to use.
So new iterations of the app coming our way. Is that right?
That's right. Yes. Stay tuned.
Lori, thank you so much for joining us.
Thanks so much for having me, Kate.
Lori Hilt is an associate professor of psychology at Lawrence University in Appleton. Stay with us ahead this hour. What is behind the rise in reckless driving and the surge in car crashes? AAA surveyed thousands of drivers in these times. Are you taking more risks behind the wheel? Has defensive driving gone to a whole new level out there? Join in 800-642-1234. That conversation ahead. Stay close. News update is next here on the Ideas Network.